From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. The U.S. Coast Guard is trying to rescue six people thought to have crashed Thursday morning in a float plane in the vicinity of the Misty Fjords National Monument. Sector Juneau Petty Officer Eli Teller says an emergency beacon was activated from a mountainside about 12 miles northeast of Ketchikan. He says a Coast Guard helicopter and a private Temsco helicopter are on scene, hovering a few hundred feet below the signal's origin.
But due to weather, they can't get to the appropriate altitude to get eyes on confirmation. So the signal's coming from about 1,400 feet elevation, and they can get to about 900 feet with the current cloud ceiling.
Ground crews from Alaska State Troopers and the U.S. Forest Service are trying to ascend the mountain to reach the suspected crash site. The missing aircraft is a de Havilland Beaver. That's according to Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Services Squad's Jerry Kiefer, who says first responders are making arrangements to assist.
KVRS has emergency crews standing by, medical crews standing by when we locate the aircraft.
Authorities haven't disclosed the owner of the aircraft, but the Anchorage Daily News is reporting that the flight operator is Southeast Aviation and the passengers came off of the Holland America cruise ship New Amsterdam. A mid-air collision between two flight-seeing aircrafts in the same area killed six people 2 years ago. In 2015, a fatal crash killed nine people also nearby. And a joint KUCB and ProPublica investigation this summer found that Alaska has made up a growing share of the country's crashes involving small commercial aircraft in recent years. And the U.S. Departments of Justice and Interior will seek nominations of non-federal members to a joint commission on reducing violent crime against American Indians and Alaska Natives. While she was still serving in Congress, now Interior Secretary Deb Haaland sponsored the Not Invisible Act. The measure was passed in October of 2020 and mandated the creation of the commission. The measure seeks to improve intergovernmental coordination to identify and fight violent crime against Indigenous people. It also calls for the Interior Department to coordinate prevention, grants, and programs relating to missing and murdered Indigenous peoples. More information is available at the Bureau of Indian Affairs' Not Invisible Act website. And among Governor Mike Dunleavy's recent budget vetoes was $400,000 for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. That's a huge cut in state funding for an organization devoted solely to providing free legal aid to low-income Alaskans. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on who is using the free legal aid and the consequences of those cuts.
Rhonda says her now ex-husband was an alcoholic and drug addict. He frequently became angry, verbally and emotionally abusive, and threatened her with weapons. In one instance, he threatened to shoot Rhonda and their young child when she tried calling 911. She escaped when he turned his back.
I took that moment to get away from him. I grabbed my jacket and keys and just quickly flipped out and got in the car and left.
He was arrested, but Rhonda says he repeatedly bailed out of jail and violated his conditions of release by contacting her. A women's shelter referred her to an attorney who quickly drafted a long-term protective order and got it before a judge. Rhonda says the attorney also drew up a will so that if anything happened to her, then her child would be placed in the custody of a trusted and caring friend instead of her ex-husband.
The situation was very hard for me emotionally.
She says she's so thankful for the legal help. Private attorneys can cost several hundred dollars an hour, and that's out of reach for many Alaskans, especially if they're low income. Rhonda's attorney came from Alaska Legal Services Corporation, a private nonprofit organization that provides free civil legal aid to Alaskans. Nicole Nelson, executive director of Alaska Legal Services Corporation, says the civil justice gap is deep and broad, and it has a big impact on the community.
You know, there's just a real lack of knowledge out there about how difficult it is for regular people to get access to civil legal help. And this is a really complicated time.
They may need help, for example, escaping their abuser or filing for child support. Or a senior may need help with a power of attorney. An Alaska Native veteran might need some help applying for a land allotment. Or a tenant faces eviction. And sometimes those landlord-tenant issues can even be resolved before going to court. Nelson says all those needs fall disproportionately on people of color.
About 45% of the individuals that we represent are Alaska Native people.
Community education is also a big part of Alaska Legal Services. They run a regular call-in helpline on landlord-tenant issues, for example, and hold online clinics focused on pandemic rent relief and the eviction moratorium. Ryan Fortson says it was satisfying working on tenant and domestic violence cases when he was at Alaska Legal Services earlier in his career.
I wanted to get a position where I felt I could make more of a difference and help people that needed help that couldn't necessarily afford legal assistance.
Rhonda had a favorable outcome because she had an experienced attorney who knew the law and knew exactly what to do. And there's research that essentially backs that up. Fortson is now associate professor at University of Alaska Anchorage's Justice Center. And looking at divorce and child custody cases in Palmer a few years ago, he says they discovered that a parent was more likely to get the custody arrangement they sought if they had an attorney and the other parent did not.
On average, the lawyer is going to be able to have some influence on the court and on the final decision.
In an opinion piece in the Anchorage Daily News, Governor Dunleavy responded to critics who called his budget cuts devastating or cruel. He wrote that he had put Alaskans first, and his highest calling is to Alaskans and Alaskan families. But Nelson says that's exactly who Dunleavy is hurting. In a response also published in the ADN, she says Dunleavy's veto brought their state funding down to its lowest level in 11 years.
I think it's the birthright of Americans is supposed to be that we have liberty and justice for all, not just for those who can afford to pay for it.
Nelson says they usually have broad bipartisan support in the legislature, but she does not know if legislators will override the governor's vetoes or restore funding during the special session.
We already turn away one person for every one that we represent for lack of resources.
Cases like Rhonda's with immediate health and safety concerns will still be a priority if the budget cut stands. But Nelson says over 800 additional Alaskans, including other domestic violence survivors, crime victims, parents, tenants, veterans, and seniors, will all get turned away. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And the State Health Department says a highly sophisticated group known for cyber attacks against governmental and other entities is believed to be behind the attack this spring that targeted the department. The state agency says a cybersecurity firm it was working with had identified the group behind the attack, but a department spokesperson said the department won't comment on the group's identity, citing an ongoing investigation. The department previously reported the attack was identified on May 17th. It now says the first signs of a potential attack were identified about 2 weeks earlier, prompting notification of law enforcement and the retention of outside cybersecurity services. And Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed changing the state's constitution to include the permanent fund dividend. Now, his office is willing to spend up to $250,000 to spread the word about his proposal. Dunleavy's proposed constitutional amendment would also add the annual draw from the permanent fund to pay for PFDs and the state's budget, and it would add the power cost equalization program. The governor's office has posted a request for media agencies interested in contracting with the state for the campaign. Agencies have until Friday to respond. In the request, the state noted 67% of Alaskans in a recent poll were unfamiliar with Dunleavy's amendment proposal. For an amendment to pass, a majority of voters must approve it. Under the proposed amendment, PFDs would be set at half of the annual draw. The current estimated amount of this year's dividend would be roughly $2,350 under the proposal. There currently is no funding for PFDs this year. Under the budget the legislature passed, dividends would have been just over $500, but Dunleavy vetoed that amount, saying they should be larger. In an emailed statement, Dunleavy's office described the purpose of the campaign. It said he believes constitutionally protecting the permanent fund, PFD, and power cost equalization is the first step towards securing the future of the state's finances. The money for the advertising would come from the governor's office budget, and he compared it to similar spending in previous administrations. It will be spent on radio and online advertisements. The request says the advertising is exempt from the state law that sets requirements for state contracts, such as the competitive bidding process. Dunleavy agreed to reimburse the state just under $3,000 last year to settle an ethics complaint over advertising that criticized the governor's opponents and praised his allies. The settlement says that Dunleavy did not admit wrongdoing. Champion dog musher Lance Mackey of Fairbanks has been diagnosed with cancer again. The 51-year-old Mackey shared the news on Facebook Tuesday. Mackie survived throat cancer nearly 20 years ago, prior to racking up 4 Yukon Quest and 4 Iditarod titles by 2010. In the Facebook post, Mackie says he'd like to lease his 20 dogs so they can race the 2022 season, but adds that he has, quote, every intention to race again. Mackie's new cancer diagnosis follows treatments for methamphetamine addiction and the death of his partner, Jennifer Smith, in an ATV accident last fall. Mackie is solo parenting the couple's 2 young children. Mackie, who also successfully races cars, survived a serious crash in April. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and statewide news, visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.